Our next guest on the program has been a music journalist for more than four decades, contributing editor to Vanity Fair, a columnist for the New York Post and the New York Times, and the author of a terrific new book called Nobody Ever Asked Me About the Girls, Women, Music, and Fame. We are pleased to be joined by Lisa Robinson. I absolutely love the book, and so I want to start by asking, is the dream of rock and roll, the dream of music as a career, is it different for women than it is for men?
I wouldn't know really what it is for men, but I guess for women in music, it wasn't the same kind of lure of, like, picking people up on the road that it was early on for guys. You know, they had a much wilder kind of existence. I think women really wanted to be in that boys' club because they loved the music, they wanted to play the guitar. They weren't supposed to be able to play the guitar. The only woman that actually admitted to me, of all the women I talked to for this book, that she wanted to have mating selections was Courtney Love.
Fame is such a powerful drug for a whole lot of people. I've always been a fan of Linda Ronstadt, and she seems to have it in pretty good perspective. You quote her in the book as saying, flattery never does you any favors.
Yeah. Linda's very grounded, and I think a lot of the women who have been through a lot of this, whether it's Joni Mitchell, Stevie Nicks, Sheryl Crow, Linda Ronstadt, they also, even P.J. Harvey, a lot of those women, Mary J. Blige, they all told me it wasn't that they wanted to be famous. It was just that they loved the music. This was the only thing they thought they could do. They wanted to sing, they wanted to entertain, they wanted to perform, and fame brings with it a whole other set of problems.
You mentioned that Bette Midler maybe handled fame better than anyone. What did she do well?
I think that Bette has talked a lot to me, and this is in the book, that she just never let it go to her head. That she never, you know, she knew she was famous, but she didn't really think of herself in that way. She thought that she knew she could sing, she knew she could perform, she knew she could be funny, she wanted to entertain. And when she became famous, she saw that the whole thing was kind of a trap, and she didn't want to let it get to her. She didn't want to worry about money or walking down the street or changing what she looked like. And, you know, I think that she just was always incredibly grounded with her family. And even to this day, she's just a fantastic, fabulous woman. And she just said that it wasn't about being a star as much as it was about entertaining and expressing herself.
I thought it was interesting that so many of the women you talked to mentioned that they would just love to be able to go grocery shopping.
Oh, you really did read the book. I know. I thought that was hilarious when Rihanna told me that she wished she could just go shop for her own groceries. I went, oh, come on. And she said, no, seriously. She said, just to do something normal, it would be so great to be able to just go out incognito and shop for groceries. And I think I wrote a whole lot about this because of so many women talk to me about wanting to shop for groceries. And being a person such as myself who actually has to shop for groceries and realize what a chore it is and how it can be really just kind of a drag slogging through stores carrying food, I just couldn't really believe this. But I guess to them, it was a symbol. I mean, Adele actually would, you know, put on a baseball cap, no makeup, go to Bristol Farms in Beverly Hills. A couple of other women, FKA Twigs, told me that she did her shopping in London all the time and took the bus. But in general, I don't think you'll see Beyonce in the grocery store.
We're talking with Lisa Robinson here on Downtown. When you talk about a family, love, and marriage, that's certainly a challenge for any professional, anyone in the music business, certainly. And safe to say, like everything else out there, women who have families in the music business are held to a very different standard than men who have families.
Yeah, well, you know, I tried in this whole book to talk about how women, rich, famous women, have the same problems that all women have. know, relationship problems, juggling a career with motherhood, juggling a career with relationships, having problems in business and a boys club, wanting to get paid the same amount of money, just being sort of undervalued, underutilized, underpaid. But when it comes to show business, it's even more difficult because they're very famous. And a lot of men, for example, you know, their egos can't take it. And a lot of these women have real problems keeping marriages going, juggling the marriage with the touring and the children, and it just is an extra little bit of difficulty, I think. All of these women talk to me about it. And the reason I titled the book Nobody Ever Asked Me About the Girls was because I had traveled so many years with Led Zeppelin and the Rolling Stones and Michael Jackson and David Bowie and U2, and then I realized I've talked to all these women, and they all have all these issues that all we women have, and I just wanted to write about that.
Well, one of the most powerful chapters of the book deals with abuse, the emotional abuse, the physical abuse, a number of women in the business who were raped along the way, and to something as seemingly innocuous as Mick Jagger giving you, as you describe it, that come hither look, but that permeates the music business.
Well, that thing with Mick was kind of a joke. I mean, neither of us took it seriously. But I was probably one of the few women that ever was on the road with any of these bands who was not sleeping with them, and nor was I taking drugs with them. I was just kind of taking the stories down and making tapes to the point where I have 5,000 hours of interviews still digitized. But, Fiona Apple and Tori Amos talked quite candidly about being raped. Eventually, Lady Gaga did. And just even little subtle things like Beyonce telling me that she wasn't at first allowed to produce her records, or the record company didn't think she had a single, or the way the record executives talked to the women. Even today, somebody like Kacey Musgraves, who's won every award you could possibly win in country music, has told me that she absolutely has problems getting played on country radio. Yeah. Because they think she's a rebel and she's not nice enough, whatever that means, to radio programmers. So, you know, this still exists. I don't know that the music business has quite had the reckoning that Hollywood has had. I don't think there's a character that's like a Harvey Weinstein situation. But there's all sorts of very overt and also very subtle abuse and sexism in every business. I mean, the manager of McDonald's, you know, probably acts a certain way to the people, the women who work there. So, you know, this permeates every area of the world, but the music business has had its share. Yes.
I was very amused. You wrote about Madonna, who likes to talk about being an original in every aspect of her professional life. But as you point out, her look, which she talked about as being so original, was borrowed from a number of people, including Debbie Harry.
Yes, well, you know, Madonna has had a very successful career without approval from me. let's just leave it at that. I'm a bigger fan of sort of soulful, heartfelt talent than I am of this kind of unbridled ambition.
Well, and it comes through that you share with me a love of Patti Smith, who certainly seems to be as original and genuine as anybody out there in the business.
Yeah, Patti really sort of shook us all up in the 70s when she performed at CBGB's, because really there hadn't been a woman doing that sort of thing. You know, she emulated a lot of guys that she really worshipped, whether it was Keith Richards or Bob Dylan. She took a lot of that stuff and sort of put it together. But it was very original when she did what she did, merging poetry and rock and roll. And then she left for a long time to raise a family and live in Detroit, and then came back to the music business and continued to perform.
The book is Nobody Ever Asked Me About the Girls, Women, Music, and Fame. It is a tremendous read. Lisa Robinson, thank you so much for making time for us today.
Thank you for having me, Rich. Nice to talk to you.
Lisa Robinson, man, it really is a terrific book as well, with some of the more interesting people you'll read about in music and the struggles that they've had to go to. And as she said, they are the struggles that a number of women have had to face in whatever line of work they're in. Nobody Ever Asked Me About the Girls, Women, Music, and Fame, the new book from Lisa Robinson.